good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Yes. Go ahead and let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. It's been a little while since I've stood in front of you. Seems like it anyway. Feels like it. I don't think it has actually been that long. But I'll tell you what, I love to be a Christian.
Amen.
I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 18 years old, and I was at a rock and roll party, walls shaking. You know, there was alcohol there. There was girls there. It was everything that a sinner boy would want. In the midst of that, God called me.
Yes.
And I don't know how to explain it. I knew I had a Savior. And I went to the room, didn't even know how to pray. And, you know, got on my knees and said, God, I know this is real. And I know that you're real. If you'll show me the truth, I'll serve you the rest of my life.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm 18. I'm 33 now. Soon I'll be 34. And I've talked to a lot of people since that time, and a lot of them said, God, don't work that way. Well, it's too late. You already did it. Amen?
That's right.
A lot of times, you know, you've got an obstacle in front of you, and you'll see God do something in your life, and the devil will try to work through somebody and say, God, don't work that way. But God can do what he wants to. Amen? As long as it's according to his word. Let's go into the scriptures to St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. She's got the scriptures on the multimedia. No, I thought I gave them to you. 5:13 through 16. I love listening to that. Y'all hear that? That's Bible pages turning. I love to hear that. 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast down and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give me this exact, be able to say it exactly the way you've shown it to me, Lord. Lord, help them to be able to receive it in the depth that you want them to receive it, Lord. Amen. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Now, it talks about salt and how it's good for nothing. And my wife made a recipe the other night. She said, "I'm going to call this Vicky's recipe." And it was good. It was good. And she made grilled cheese sandwiches to go with that. And I said, "I don't think it would be good by itself." I said, "But if you have the grilled cheese, it really sets it off." And I ate a little more of it, and I said, "You know, it probably tastes really good if you just put a lot of cheese inside this." I ate a little more, and I said, "It would really taste good if you put Velveeta cheese inside this." And she said, "You want salt?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I want. I want salt, because cheese is salty." And I guess maybe that's maybe when the Lord began to deal with my heart on this, on, you know, we are to be salty. And he says, you know, if we lose our savor, he says it's good for nothing. Because if you had a shaker full of salt and you were pouring inside that, but it didn't taste salty when you poured inside there, what good is it?
Right.
You may as well throw it out, right? And in the old houses, if you look at the history, they say in the old houses, they couldn't build their houses out, so they had to build them up. And so when they built them up on their floors, they would put all this plaster stuff on the bottom, and you could dig holes in it, so that would actually take salt. And pour that salt that's worthless onto the floor, and it actually trod into the flooring and make the floor harder. I never knew that. How many knew that? Pretty interesting. I don't want to be trodden down. You know, I don't want to be worthless. You know, that salt is not doing its job. It's worthless. You know, I've seen wrenches that are worthless. You try to put them on, you can have the exact same size wrench it's supposed to be, and it won't work. It'll break immediately. It's worthless. You know, I've seen clothes that are worthless.
Right.
You wear them just a little bit, it rips right off the bat. Worthless. I've seen shoes that you can buy. You can wear them one time, and they're already your toe sticking out the end of it. Worthless. I don't want to be worthless.
I want to be the real deal. You say amen? You hear the saying, tougher than boot leather. Well, you can't say that about a lot of product anymore. Is that the truth? Because it's not tough anymore. I want to be the original, rawhide, tough leather Christian. Not this soft stuff we got today. We got a lot of soft stuff to get their feelings hurt so easy. You know what? We need to step up to the plate and be a man. Amen? And a woman. Now the ladies as well, you know, we live in an age where you can't be so soft that everything offends you. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to be offended. You say
right.
Amen?
That's right.
Philippians 2:14-16 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Do what we do without complaining, without murmuring and complaining. It says salt is used for flavor. But if it doesn't change the flavor, then it's absolutely useless. Another thing salt is used is a preservative. They preserve meat. And you know, we as a Christian, without a Christian in the environment, we are what preserves this world to the sanity that it has. I'm telling you what, you take the bride out, it'll be you think it's insane right now.
Yeah.
You wait until the bride's gone. And you know, saints, I'm listening to you. I want you to listen to what I'm trying to say here. There's judgment coming on this earth.
That's right.
There's winds blowing on you, and I don't care if you're in America. I don't care if you're in Arkansas. I don't care if you're in Oklahoma. I don't care if you're in Honduras. I don't care if you're in Mexico, India. I don't care where you're at. Judgment's coming. And you know, you can be outside playing basketball, mowing the yard, doing whatever you want to do, and you start feeling the wind blowing, what do you know? A storm's coming. You can be out there and you know something's fixing to happen. I'm telling you what, tribulation winds are blowing right now.
Right.
It don't matter where you're at, tribulation winds are blowing right now.
Right.
And some people will blow those things off. Many of the lives that are taken during a tornado, they felt the winds. They heard the radio, said the storm's coming. The people that were, their lives were taken in there. Mothers and fathers said, go out there and take the trash. And they just went about their casual life knowing everything that shows a storm is coming was all around them.
That's right.
But they did not take alert to what was going on. They went on about their normal life of casualty, of just being normal. It's okay. And I'm going to tell you what, judgment struck. And when it struck, lives were lost.
Right.
Mommies and daddies were then looking at that and wishing to God that it looked to the signs. Listen, friends, tribulation is coming.
That's right.
It's all around us. You can look in the governments. I don't care what part of the earth you're at, what part of the nation you're at, judgment's coming. You know, they got this. They're wanting to unite and we stand. They do all their marches that they're looking for some kind of unity. They're all looking for a Superman to come. I'm telling you what, our Superman's already come. It's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And in the midst of a storm, there's a place that you can go for safety. There's a place of refuge during a tornado. But you know, there's a lot of people that will, during a tornado storm, will actually be at their storm shelter and standing with the door wide open looking at the storms. Hello? Especially if you're from Oklahoma. In the midst of a storm, you've got the shelter, but you're standing outside looking. I wonder if it's coming out of here. You see anything over there? No, don't see anything over there. Your neighbor's doing the same thing. You know, in a natural sense, we can laugh about those things, but in a spiritual sense, friends, we can't be standing out the door. We've got to shut that door, and we've got to be sealed away. Because
right.
Once that cellar door is sealed, you cannot open it from the outside. It can only be opened from the inside. I thank God for that. We're the only one. That devil can try all he can. When you're in that storm cellar, someone can knock on that door all he wants, trying to get you to step outside. But the only person that can open that door is you. He can tempt you with anything that you can possibly imagine. But the only one that can give in to that temptation is you. He can tempt you with the ladies. He can tempt you with cutting your hair. Just a little bit of makeup. You're sealed away inside the cellar. You hear the knock on the door. You can cut your hair just a little bit. A little bit won't matter. It'll grow faster anyway, what the devil will tell you. You can put just a little bit of makeup on. Just a little bit. What's he doing? He's standing outside that door cellar. He's knocking on that door.
Right.
He's standing out there. He's saying, you know what? Just a little bit of high heel shoes will be okay. A little bit won't matter. It's because you have. It's because Jesus looks on the inside. Hello?
Right.
Knocking on the outside. He said, you don't matter. You can bring that skirt up just a little bit higher. You can bring a little bit because it's on the inside what Jesus really looks at. I'm telling you what he's doing. He's knocking on that door because the only one that can give him that temptation is you.
Yeah.
He can tempt you and he can say, you know what, look at that young little lady over here. There's a lady walking over here. She's got her clothes up. She's revealing. Look at her. Look again. Look at her right there. She's bent over. Hello?
Right.
What's he doing? He's knocking. Come here and look. You can be looking at the weather on the internet and just looking at the weather, doing something because you want to see what's going on, and all of a sudden a pop-up will pop up there. And that old devil will say, look at that. Look at that. And you'll start to scroll down. Look at that. Look at that. What's that devil doing? Knocking.
That's right.
You can be going through a store sometime, minding your own business, going to get dog food for the dog. I'm not going there to do anything bad, but you go there and you hear that music. That rock and roll music starts pulling you, and you and that devil, and you say, tap your foot just a little bit. Sing the songs just a little bit. Sing the words just a little bit. What's that devil doing? He's knocking. Because the only one that can give into that temptation is you. That devil can knock, but he can't get inside, thank God. Because we've got the blood.
Amen.
I want to be salty in this earth. You cannot be salty if you look like the world, you smell like the world, you
right.
talk like the world, you act like the world. You are not going to be salty.
Amen.
You're worthless. You may as well be chopping down on the floor.
Amen. That's
telling you what, I want to be useful for the Lord. I want to be salty. When some lady walks through, I say a lady, a woman, because she ain't no
That's
lady
right.
if she dresses like that.
Amen.
You know what Brother Benham said? He went to a bar one time. He said, your sign fell down. Y'all looked out there and said, it looks fine to me. He said, no, it's that drunkard laying in the street over there. That's your sign. That's the greatest advertisement you'll ever have.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, we need to be faithful advertisement of representing there is an original faith. There is an original gospel. There is an original life.
Amen.
Not
right.
this weak stuff we see today.
That's right.
We need to be able to say right is right. Wrong is wrong. There is a hell and it hurts. Amen?
Right.
There's a heaven, it's beyond sublime. I'm telling you what, we live in a wishy-washy age where that devil is on the rampage knocking every day. But friends, only we can let him in. You resist the devil steadfast and he'll flee from you. Amen? Because the Lord will always leave a way of escape. You'll never be tempted more than you can bear. Telling you what, you've been fighting something that old devil's been keeps coming back, and you know what? You get victory for a little while. You're doing good, doing victory, and next thing you know, you're five steps back. How in the world did this happen? Another evangelist comes through, speaks, whatever it may be. You're getting a little closer. You're getting closer. You're getting closer. During the services, I'm praising the Lord. During the services, I'm worshiping the Lord, and next thing you know, I've fallen back again. What happened? You let him in.
Right.
I'm telling you what, it's the truth, friends.
Right.
You know what? There is victory in praise. I'm telling you, there's victory in praise. When that devil starts coming, because this is where he'll fight you at, is in your mind. He'll fight your mind constantly, pounding your mind, tempting you about this, tempting you about that. Think about the bad things you did, or whether you did or not. This is where that battle's at. I'm telling you what, you can start singing praise. You say, my chains are gone. I've been set free. All
right.
of a sudden, you start feeling that presence come down. And you feel those chains starting to lose its power.
That's right.
You say amen.
That's right.
I love it when I see God come on the scene. Whenever the devil come on a storm towards your mind. Has there ever been a storm like today? A storm on your mind where when you're just trying to do what you're supposed to do. You're not trying to do nothing bad. You're trying to do the laundry. And that devil will tempt you with everything possible. Amen?
Amen?
My chains are gone. I've been set free. You start singing that song. You start feeling that presence come down again. You know what happens? The reason a lot of times we allow ourselves to fall into it is because we think and we talk about things we ought not talk about. Hello? You sit around a campfire and you start talking about scary stories. And no matter how dumb the story is, it could be about a one-armed man looking for his golden arm, and you'll be scared to death. You'll be sitting there, and you're like, this is a dumb story. Why am I getting scared? And you're sitting there and you're listening to that and you're watching and you're paying attention to the story, and all of a sudden you can't help it. Next thing you know, and you're in a sleeping bag and with your buddies, you're... What are you doing? It's not enough, but the tent's wet on that side. I have to scoot over a little bit. What is it? Because in the midst of that, you are welcoming spirits. Whenever you do that, and those spirits will come right where they're welcome. They'll get right in your midst, and you're so anointed by it, you'll start seeing things that ain't even there. You'll start hearing something moving around there, and like, oh, that's a wildcat. Or that's the guy in the tree. He's coming for the arm. Hello? Your imagination will go wild because you're welcoming these spirits. Satan will come where he's welcome. Absolutely, he will. You think he'll come where he ain't welcome? I have to run him out every day. But I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost is just like that, friends. You talk about the right things. You start talking about God. You start talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, conviction. You watch things start changing. I was on a test drive yesterday. I had to sell this guy a truck, and I had to go all the way over here to Van Buren. One-armed man. Just coincidence. That's the honest truth. We were on our way to Van Buren. And I don't know why I felt led to do this. I'm driving the truck. I'm going down the road. And I said, you know what? I said, my God is real. He said, I believe that. And I'm just going to show you a little bit of what happened. I said, my God is real. I said, you know what? I said, I remember whenever I hurt my back about 5 years ago, I had a bunch of money. We saved up. We were going to buy our house. We didn't know how we was going to do it. But we saved this money up. I said, I ended up hurting my back. And I was down for a year. And all of our savings we had for our house, every bit of it went away. And I had worked so hard. My wife and I, we worked so hard to try to get this happen. And I was down for a solid year. I said, thank God we had the money to get through. And I said, but you know what? I remember that there was this house right across the street from my grandma's. I said, I used to go there when I was a young boy, when I was a senior in high school, and get my hair cut. And I would sit there getting my hair cut, and something told me inside that I'm going to buy this house one day. And I actually told the lady, I said, I'm going to buy this house one day. And she's laughed, and she said, oh, I don't think I'll ever get rid of this house. Well, I just assumed she still lived there. I didn't know she had moved away. Well, time goes, and I had to spend all my money. Didn't know what I was going to do. And I went to work at Jensen Express at Apollo as a manager. The Lord told me to go there, and I was doing landscaping. Didn't know why. Why in the world would I go to this job that pays nothing? But I went. The Lord told me to go. And when I was at Jensen Express, I needed to get a haircut. And I would have never went to this haircut place had I not went to work there. I went to work there, and I said, I'm going to go get my haircut. I go to this place over in Poto. It's called, well, it's called Wimps. Went inside there. Little blonde ladies. I sat down. I said, and a haircut place? She said, yeah, absolutely. And somehow in the midst of that, she said, you know what? I just wish I could sell my house. She said, I've been trying to sell for $78,000. She said, but you know what? If somebody would come buy it right now for $50,000, I'd sell it. I said, where's it at? And she said, are you serious? I said, depends. Where's it at? She says, 306 Joy Drive. I said, 306 Joy Drive? 306 Joy Drive. Is that across from the bullpen? She says, yeah, it is. I said, really? I said, okay. I said, I tell you what, I'm interested. And I went in there, and it was that exact house that I had wanted. She had bought it from that lady. And I said, I'll tell you what, let me see what I can do. I went to the bank. Everything just went just like that. And I told him, I said, everyone that knows me, for that's been around much time with me, knows I had said for years, I want to buy my house by the time I'm 30 years old. I want to be, by the time I'm 30, that's my milestone, I want to buy my house. I didn't plan any of this. We went straight to the bank, got everything rolling. They called me the day that we signed papers was my 30th birthday. Praise God. Right. And I'm saying this, and we're just going down the road. I said, man, my God is real. And I looked over, and this man's crying in the passenger seat. He said, man, that's the real stuff. He said, that's, you don't hear that anymore. I said, I'm telling you what, my God's real. I got to preach this guy the whole way, all the way to Van Buren, all the way back, and he couldn't get out. Amen. Man rededicated his heart to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm telling you what, you, wherever you're at, be salty.
Right.
Be salty and talk about what God's done in your life. God wants to move in you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't know how I got there, but praise the Lord, we got there anyhow. That man, in the midst of that, I begin to talk to him about the Lord. And the Lord will come where he's welcome. He came right in our midst, right there. Amen.
Amen.
You want to see God move in your house, at your school, wherever you're at, talk about the Lord. Amen. You know what? Because I'm telling you what, you start talking, you don't have to make your friends quit hanging around you. Or you don't have to quit hanging around your friends. You know, the ones that are wanting to drugs and drink and do those things, you don't have to do that. They'll pull right away. Mm-hmm. When I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, before that, my house was the party house. We all went there and done our thing. It wasn't even a week after I gave my heart to the Lord. I got the name in school, Preacher Dan. I didn't have much, but what I had, I was excited about it. And I tell everybody about it. Hey, you've got to know about this. You've got to know about this. You've got to know about this gospel I found. We've got a message. We've got something real. I've got something. I'm telling you what, you find something that works, what do you want to do with it? You want to tell somebody.
Yeah, right.
Amen? You get a steam cleaner, but I can take stains out, you'll say, it's a big one. Come here, look at this. You'll start cleaning that stain out, and wow, look at this. What is it? You're sold on that. You know it works. And because you know it works, you want somebody else to try it. Is that right?
Right.
And we got a gospel that's that same way. There's a good one. Come here, look at this one. I'm telling you what, see what God can do. You got mountains that needs moving. You see someone, it's an opportunity for God to move. This is a good one. Get excited about the Lord. Amen. A lot of times, recent people don't do that because they're not convinced. Because
right.
Once you get convinced, you know, I sell cars and I can tell if someone's convinced. When I'm talking, I can do the walk around with them and say, oh yeah, I like it. I like it. And I say, all right, you ain't sold on that. We're going to something else. Because I know they're not sold. Because if I go to them something, listen now, if I try to put them on a car that they're not completely sold, it don't matter how cheap I try to sell that car, it'll never be cheap enough.
Right.
And years after, they'll say, they took me, they didn't give cheap enough. You know why? They weren't sold on the car. But I'm telling you what, you put them on something they got to have, oh Lord, I don't care what the cost, what do I got to do? I want this car. I want the car. Why? They're sold. And I'm telling you what, listen now, as Christians, that's what's happened is we're not sold. Because you know what? No matter what the cost, it's too much. I have to do that too much. I have to walk like this too much. You're not sold. I'm going to tell you what, when you're sold on this gospel and you know what happens, it don't matter what you've got to give up. You'll give up anything you've got to give up to get it.
Right.
You'll drive from Garfield, Arkansas. Amen?
Right.
What is it? Because they're sold. They're sold that I know that this message is right. I know this gospel's right. I know this gospel can change my life. I know this gospel. I am a believer. Amen? That's a word that goes lightly today because a lot of churches say I'm a believer and they don't look like believers. I'm telling you what, friends. I want the original. I want to be the raw-hide believers. Amen? Praise God. That's page one. We live in a modern generation where there's a word that's very ill spoken of, and that's called sacrifice. Nobody likes to hear about sacrifice anymore. The definition of sacrifice is an act of offering to a deity something precious, especially the killing of a victim on an altar. Number two says something offered in a sacrifice. Number three is a destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else, something giving up. And as an example, they put sacrifices made by children, sacrifice made by parents for their children. Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. When we think about Job, Job did burnt offerings for his children every single day. And as he did this sacrifice, because the reason he did that in case his children would party that night before. Now I want you to think about this. The neighbors of Job walking down the street seeing this man sacrificing burnt offerings every day. To them, neighbors walk down the street, they say, that's a foolish waste. This man's got perfectly good sheep, and he's sacrificing them and burning them.
foolishness.
Think about it.
To the world, sacrifice is foolishness. And to sacrifice means to take up something good to offer before the Lord. So it wasn't Job taking this lame sheep with a broke leg or something that was sick and coughing. Job actually took a very valuable sheep and did this burnt offering. And when he did this burnt offering, there was a reverence inside him of children. There was something inside him. It wasn't just a common service. This was a service where Job was serious. Because Job knew, last night, my children were partying. My sons were partying. They went and got my daughters, and they were all partying. God forgive them. God forgive them. You know what Job was doing? He had that fish down. He was throwing it out, grabbing those children, and pulling those children. Don't ever stop praying for your children. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
There's people walking down the street that say, this is foolish. This man's crazy. Why is he throwing this money away? You know, we don't have to do the sacrifice of necessarily sheep in the morning, but we still have sacrifices of things that we do. And one of them is our time. We could spend time, the time that we could spend doing something else. Playing basketball, sewing on something, whatever it may be. We could take that time and say, Lord, I know I want to do this, but I'm going to push this to the side for just a few minutes. I'm going to consecrate this time to you, Lord. And I want this time to be your time. And it's my sacrifice before the Lord. You think God will bless that?
Amen.
When we're in a hurry at lunchtime, and we take time to thank the Lord for what we're fixing to eat, and we take time to read our Bible and seek counsel. How many times should we be seeking counsel throughout the day? Every day. I'm telling you, friends, if ever a day. When the laundry is piling up and we haven't started dinner, if we take time and say, God, I thank you. I want to pray for my family. When we're at work or school and we desire friendship and companionship of others, but we know we need to walk away because they're starting to talk about things they don't need to talk about. I want to ask you, is it a sacrifice sometimes? Absolutely. Because in this flesh, you want friends.
Right.
In this flesh, it's natural. You think, you know what, I want to have buddies. I want to have friends that I can talk with. But I'm telling you, can two walk together except they agree? You walk with them very long at all, and they'll start talking about things you ought not be talking about.
Right.
And that devil, as I was talking about earlier, knocking on that cellar door, he'll use your closest friend sometimes. Because you don't want to hurt or offend your friend, you'll say, you know what, I don't want to say anything. I'll let him or her say these things, whatever they want to, because you don't want to offend them. And the next thing you know, you are right into them. Amen. This is for young people or adults. Another thing is, tithes and offerings can be a sacrifice before the Lord. No, it's God's money anyway, the 10%. It's already His anyway. And then the offering is what you give extra to the Lord. It's from the abundance of your heart, and you give it to the Lord, your sacrifice for the Lord. You know, a lot of times the Lord will lay it on your heart whenever you ain't got the money hardly, but you know what, you've got it on your heart, and the Lord will say, you know what, you need to give that to the Lord. And you'll override that voice a lot of times. And a lot of times we rob ourselves of a blessing when we do that.
Right.
Sometimes you get as close to, you get as close to somebody as you can until you touch their wallet. Is that right? They'll hold that closer than anybody. People will hold that closer than their marriage. They will give up their marriage over this. They'll give up relationships over this. They give up everything. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
Because people will chase after this right here. Notice there's none on it. Well, there is a little bit. Forgot. I normally don't have any. But it's the truth. With this right here, people will chase after lust they wouldn't normally chase after.
That's right.
Over the love of this. People will be willing to do whatever they have to do, whoever they got to give up, how much church service they've got to give up for this. I can't tell you how many times throughout the years, the Lord, since I gave my heart to the Lord, that I will be tempted with a job that I can take and make very good money, but I have to give up my Sundays. Thank God He gave me the strength to always say no.
Amen.
I kept my job. God knows my heart. He knows it's the absolute truth. I was working at William Chevrolet, sleeping floors, and doing oil changes because I could have my Wednesdays and my Sundays off. And at that same time, I had job opportunities I could take making 60 plus a year. All I had to do was give up my Sunday sleep.
Right.
That devil will tempt you
He'll knock on you, and the only one that can let him in is you. He'll tempt you with everything you can. But I'm telling you what, you keep God first. During those years, I'd never done without. My family never done without. We never needed a pair of shoes. We never needed any clothes. In the midst of that, God met every single need. I've got testimonies that I never would have had if I would have took that other job. You say amen?
Amen.
I love the Lord. I look back and I say, you know what? I remember talking to my grandpa. I say, Grandpa, tell me some stories. Because I would see him talk about things that were exciting to him. I can't talk about those things that excite me, the sinful things. But when I can talk about what I've seen God do, friends, that's exciting.
Amen.
There was a time whenever I was, at that same time, over the time, I could have took my job making very good money. I lived in Pecola, and I would walk from Pecola to Hickory Springs every morning. I'd have to get 4 o'clock in the morning and walk, and I'd work 16, 17, sometimes 18 hours that day, and then walk home. And I was faithful with my tithes, I was faithful with my offerings, and I had all these job opportunities I could take making more money. And I, every one of them, every single one of them, I'd have to give up my Sundays. And I'd say, no. I remember walking down the highway saying, God, I don't understand it. I see these people getting all their needs met, all these things, and I'm struggling. I'm struggling going through what I'm going through, and I shouldn't have to. I see these jobs, but God, why can't you move on their heart, making me be up on Sunday? You know why? Because I couldn't be salty that way. But when people see me walking from Pecola to Hickory Springs, day in and day out, I can't tell you how many times someone would pick me up beside the road and start going down the road, and I'd say, this is my story. I can't tell you how many of them would start crying in the midst of that and give my testimony. There was a minute, that same time period, I got a job offer working. And the Lord told me to do this. The Lord will tell you to do strange stuff sometimes. I've heard people say he'll make you shout in the supermarket or something like that. He's never done that to me yet. He probably will one day before it's all over. The Lord told me to go and take this job at a rock quarry in Hackettstown. And I didn't know why, but I felt led to go. That's honestly just felt led to go. The money was not there, and the work definitely is not great. If you want to work a leader, you definitely don't want to work at a rock quarry. But I felt led to go. I took this job at the rock quarry. And I thought I was going to run the bandsaw. I was like, okay, Lord, I see why. Because I see a comfortable chair sitting there. You actually sit there, and men will actually feed the rock to you. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. That's going to be what it is. You're going to give me that, and it's in the shade. And we were going through here, and he said, that's your workstation right over there. And he said, okay. He said, I'll walk with you over. I said, okay. And I'm looking at this nice bandsaw and this comfortable chair in the shade. He's got water, you know, everything a working guy could possibly want right there. And he says, you're right around here. We go right past that saw and right to the back. And there's this old shack back here. And they got where they, you ever seen the park? They got the big tables, these big boulder tables that they pitched out. That was my job. They'd have this big boulder that they bring up there. And I'd have to hold a chisel in one hand and a sledgehammer in the other. And I'd have to hit that thing as hard as I could. And I can't tell you how many times I would hit my hand. And my hand was just as big as a grapefruit. Hurt so bad, and it looked insane. Why would I stay there? I tried to quit so many times. I threw that thing down. I said, this is crazy. I started to walk away, and I felt so checked in my heart, like I'd stole something from somebody. I had to go right back there to that same old rock. Did not know why, but it was obedience. And then during this rock, you got 3 lines you've got to do. The first one, you've got to hit it really, really hard because you've got to get it dead center in the middle of the rock. So that's your the depth of your rock, you've got to get it split down to the center. That's your first hit. I'd have to hit that thing as hard as I possibly could and have to hit that and split it down all the way down the middle. Then your next step, you change your angle a little bit and you'd have to hit not quite as hard, but hard. Hit that and my hand would just be, my hand still hurts sometimes from I hit it so hard. And I did not know why. I said, God, why are you making me stay here? I don't understand it. And I was getting ready to leave. I said, God, I don't know if I could take it anymore. My hand would hurt so bad. She put ice on them. When I get home, I just put it inside of a bowl of ice. It would hurt so bad. And she said, why don't you just quit? I said, I don't know why. God told me to do this. I don't know why. He told me to do this. I stayed there, and the very next day, there was a man that came. He started work there. And I was working with that man just for a few hours. And I felt that presence of God drop down right where I was at. My hand just swollen and just pounded. And I don't know how I knew it. Words just started flowing out of my mouth. And I led that man to the Lord right there in the middle of the rock quarry. Man was from Texas. God will cause you to move a certain way, and you have no idea why. I'm telling you what, if you obey the Lord, God can move through you. Led that man to the Lord, and he was going through a separation with his family from his wife, where he couldn't see his wife. They were going through this trouble, and their marriage got reconciled. And come to find out, his wife at a church praying over there said, God, help him get a hold of somebody that'll help him, Lord. A wife, a woman I've never seen in my entire life, was throwing that net out and was pulling him in. And me, I could have had a job doing anything. I had all not anything. I had these job opportunities. I could have done them. But I have to give up my Sundays. Lord knows what he's doing.
Amen.
If God needs to get a hold of somebody and make him go through something miserable to get to your son or your daughter, he'll do it.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Young people, I want you to listen to me. That devil is going to tempt you and try you. You have every kind of temptations from the flesh, for money, for all these things. But if you'll stay with the Word, I'm telling you what, God will meet every need for you.
Yeah.
If you'll wait on the Lord, he'll send you the wife that you need to be. He won't send you a girlfriend. He'll send you a wife. You say amen.
Amen.
We know people right in our midst. Parents were praying and all the way to Texas, buddy. Go out there and reel them in. My brother Matthew. And just so happens,
Sister Judy.
From Texas.
How good is our God, amen?
Amen?
Young people, I'm telling you what, you need if you just wait on the Lord, he'll give you the right one. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet.
Nobody's wonderful up to you. You know, in the scriptures, it says that the dove and the crow were in the same exact cage. And they could eat the exact same food. And this dove and this crow, that crow could go out and he could eat carcass, he could eat all these things, dead animals, and he'd go right back and eat the same old grain. But that dove, he don't have a gall on the inside of it. That dove inside him, he can't eat me. Because if he tries to eat it, it'll kill him. There's something inside of him, a nature on the inside of him. You'll never see a dove eating dead carcass beside the road.
That's right. Man.
He don't have a gall. He's built different. His nature's different.
But that nasty crow, animal could still be alive and still be picking at it. That's how evil it can be.
That's right.
Won't you listen to this? He says, but a dove cannot eat nothing but grain and seed because it has no gall to digest this other stuff. And if the dove would eat it, it would kill the dove. But the crow can stand over here and eat dead things and come over and eat corn too. Now that's the difference. And sometimes you take an old crow-natured man or woman, they'll go out into the roadhouses, pool rooms, and all kinds of places and devices, hoop and holler and carry on, and come back to church and act the very same way, right? But a real born-again Christian cannot tolerate the things of the world. If you love the world or the things of the world, now I mean, not by the law saying, I shouldn't do this or I should do that. That isn't it. Listen, it's God in you changing your nature and desire, certainly. There's the difference. Not while you are trying to impersonate that. If you're still a crow, that's right. You've got to get your nature changed to make your desires change. Then when you truly love God and believe Him with all your heart, that's it. When you do anything wrong, you feel the tears of repentance rolling down your cheeks. You can't stand it. You have to go back. You lay on your face before Father and say, God, you know I didn't mean to do that. And you'll stay right there until it's settled with God forever. That's right. But an old crow, it don't bother him. He can just eat anything he wants to. He can digest it. But the dove cannot digest these things. Then notice, now, and go back to the lamb. The lamb was the most meek of the earth.
That dove can't do those things. You know, if you go out and you step out and you start doing things you ought not doing, it's something inside you. You'll feel so checked. You'll so feel tore apart. God forgive me.
That's right.
I didn't mean to do that, Lord. I didn't mean to do it.
Man.
I felt the knock. I heard the knock on the outside. I resisted it. It tempted me. It says, hey, why don't you look at this? Hey, come here and look at this. Cut your hair just a little bit. Look at that woman just one time. Hey, look at this guy over. He's got his shirt off. Hello. Knocking. The only person that can open that door is you. When you try to step out and look at those things. And you know what? When he tempts you into doing it, and you slip and you fall, and you say, you know, I don't know how I did it, but I found myself, I did it. Then you got this something on the inside of you saying, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do it. I was tempted and I was drawn away. I'm going to ask everyone to just bow your heads right now. Only person that knows. You know, if you go to a doctor's office, that doctor, no matter how skilled he is, he can only help you as much as you'll be honest with yourself and as much as you'll be honest with him. And you can go to a doctor's office that has everything that he has need of to help you. But because you're too ashamed or too afraid or you just don't want to talk about it, you don't want to deal with it right now, and you can die with that sickness right in your body. I'm telling you what, there's a master physician here this morning. And he's here to help you. But you have to be honest with him. You have to be honest with yourself. And say, you know what, I'm struggling. I'm going through these things. I'm trying to overcome these temptations. But every time I overcome it, it seems like he just keeps knocking. Why don't you just lift your hands? You know what, I'm tired of struggling. I need some help. God sees your hands coming up right now. I'm telling you what, he's here this morning. And we have an altar here this morning. You know what? Why don't you come talk to him at the altar and lay with him at the altar and say, God, I want to talk to you about it. I want to lay right in front of you, just as the prophet said. And I want to set free from these things, these temptations that are tempting me, God. I want to be set free. If anybody wants to come forth, won't you come right now? Don't you worry about what anybody else thinks of you. Don't you worry about anything. You say, I want victory today. Yes. Won't you just come on forth right now?
Yes.
Every head bowed. Come forth if you have need of prayer. Come on forth. He's here to help you. But he can only help you in the measure that you're willing to be honest with him. And say, I need help. You know what? If you're saying, I don't even know if I'm really a Christian. I think I should be, but I just don't know. I want to know this morning. Won't you come forth this morning? Won't you receive the Lord right now? He's here today. And he's here to meet your needs. I want to start praying for the saints that are already here. If anyone else wants to come, you just come right on. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, you see my brother here this morning, God. You say, I need help. Lord, I hear the knockings, Lord. They're trying to get me to give in, God. And I don't want to give in, Lord. Lord, I ask you for the real thing, Lord God. I ask you to give it to him, Lord Jesus. Come into his heart right now, Lord. Lord, open every door, Father, every crack, Lord. Anything, Lord, that's unlike you, I ask you to burn it out of him, Lord. And give my brother a dove nature, Lord. Lord, where he can't go out and do the things of the world and feel okay. But God, whatever he may step out, may you make him so sick on the inside till it makes it right, oh God. Oh God, help him to die to that old man, Lord Jesus. Set him free, God. Break every chain that would try to bind him in Jesus' holy name, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you see our precious sister here this morning, Lord. God, she says, I need help this morning. Lord, I ask you to walk through her heart right now. Open every door, every crack, Lord God. May you let there be a dove nature be born on the inside, Father. Lord, that anybody that would come in contact with her, Lord, they just feel that holy oil, Father. Lord, radiating from the inside. Lord, one of the beauties of a dove is he doesn't go out into the dirty water to take a bath, Lord, because he's clean from the inside out. He's got that oil gland on the inside, God.
Oh, God, I ask you, let those glands work again, Father, deep within inside her, Lord. Clean her from the inside out, God. Oh, Lord, search her life right now, Lord Jesus. Lord God, if there be anything that she needs to let go this morning, we want to lay it at the altar this morning, Father. Oh, God, break every chain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On behalf of my sister, hands in this morning, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, help her to be able to receive victory this morning, Lord God. Lord, as that old enemy, that old devil will try to knock on her heart, Lord, her door, Lord, trying to give her to get in, give in, Lord. God, I ask you, Father, help her hold that token proud and true in her home, God. Oh, God, if she's at the grocery store or she's going, God, may that anointing be with her, Father. Oh, God, I ask you to bless her children, Lord. Oh, God, I claim them right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, God, we honor the token right now, Father. We hold that token in our hand and we wave it high, Father. Lord, and we say, I've got the token. I claim the blood over my family, Lord. God, I ask you to go to them right now, Father, and prick their hearts, God. Lord, even as you went to Paul, Lord, and you met him on the road to Damascus, oh, God. Lord, you met him, Father. You stopped him in his tracks, oh, God. God, touch your family in Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to touch my sister here, Lord. God, would you search her heart, Lord God? Lord, when that old devil tries to knock on her, Lord, may she be able to resist the devil steadfast, oh God. God, search her heart right now and clean her, Father, from the inside out, Lord, of anything that's unlike you, Father. Lord Jesus, give her victory over the devil this morning, Lord. May he be under her foot because he's worthless. Because he can't do anything. Because we are the bride and we know who we are. We're standing on the word, oh God. Lord, put the devil where he belongs, under our feet. In Jesus' name, Father. Break every chain, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to come to this young man, Lord, this morning. Lord God, he's seeking you, Lord. And your word says, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. God, I ask you to help my little brother, Father. If he's being tempted by the things that's unlike you, Father, I ask you, Lord, give him victory, Father. Lord, may your anointing come into his heart right now, Father. Oh, God, we'll open every door, every crack, Lord. Search him, oh, God. Lord, if there's anything unlike you, Father, we want to put it under the blood right now, Father. Lord, break every chain that would try to bind him, oh God. I ask you, Lord, put your anointing on, Lord. Lord, lead him to the true, genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, God. Lord Jesus, will you break every chain? Lord, change his own nature to that dove nature, God. Lord, help him be so anointed, Lord, when he goes to school, Father. He'll be salty, Lord. Lord Jesus, meet every need in Jesus' name. His feet where he belongs this morning, Lord, and make him stay there, oh God. Lord, give him total victory. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody else needs prayer, don't you go out them doors without him. He's here this morning, and he'll break every chain. He'll set you free from everything that's unlike you. You know, if you're being tempted, you say, you know what, I don't want to be tempted like that anymore. He'll take that temptation away from the inside. He'll give you that old nature on the inside of the Holy Ghost.
tribulation. My goodness, they're blowing. Especially this nation. We've been a great nation, but the handwriting is on the wall. And we need to know the Lord. We need to be convinced that we're connected with Him in this life. Satan wants to tell you that you can mock God or you can just go on and it really don't matter, but it does matter. I am acquainted with people myself that I've watched them over the years mock God, and I have watched what happened to their lives. And it won't work. I've said it many times, if you, the Word of God tells you something and you circumvent that and try to go around it, the only way that you'll ever get anywhere is to come right back to that very thing. And I've watched people just push it to the side. I've seen people who had godly influence in life. I know one particular person that I'm very familiar with, and some of you probably know who I'm talking about, but had a very godly parents, mom and dad, that were very godly, the most godly people I ever have known, just about, pretty much, you know, outside of the message of Pentecost. And I watched their son from an age very young always be defiant to their parents. Always go against what they wanted, and never honored the gospel that they stood for like they needed to. And I watched him get up in his older years and get married and all the things he went through, and it comes back around. The first thing happened to him, he got burnt really bad in a brush pile, gasoline explosion. Had to go and be put in a vat where they boil the skin off every day, and the pain that goes with it. You'd think he'd give his heart to God, but he didn't. He just kept right on running just as hard as he could. Next thing you know, he falls off of a ladder, two-story ladder, and he breaks his arms. Now, one of his arms is so broken so bad after surgery, after surgery, after surgery, that he's got an extra joint in his arm because it won't grow back. So he has to have something on his arm all the time because he wouldn't listen. He had a mom and dad that were praying, godly parents, and he would not listen to that gospel. But he has testified to me that he could see it in their lives. But he wouldn't give it to them. And so now he spent lots of time in prison because of decisions he's made. In prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison. And systematically his life has gone downhill because he never surrendered to the Lord. So he's in prison, and his mom dies. And he's not even permitted to leave prison to come home just long enough to be for his mom's funeral. His wife dies. He's not able to come because of the condition of his of what he's done. He's not able to come and come to his wife's funeral. His dad dies. He's not able to come to that. And each one of those are different times where he's been sent back to prison because of extra decisions he keeps making. Systematically, everything is being taken away from him because he wouldn't surrender to the Lord. And the thing that I fear, being acquainted with this person, knowing that he knows and has seen that gospel, the thing I fear is that one of these days I'm going to get that phone call and say that he's gone. Never gave his heart to the Lord. And I just say that because it doesn't pay to mock the Lord, mock the Word of God. We want to be salty, just like Brother Daniel said. We want to live in the presence of those around us to where they know that they can look at you and say, that I see God in your life. And you certainly can fake that. That's not something that you can fake. I was thinking, as Brother Daniel was talking, this last week was the anniversary of my wife and I when we had our first son, Joseph, and he was stillborn and died at birth. That was a hard time for my wife and I. I had wanted a son for a long time, and when he came along, and most of you know the story, so I won't go through it too much, but maybe for the sake of our young visitor here. But, you know, wanted a son for a long time, and when the Lord gave him to us, we had to bury him. He was born that way. I remember that being a rough time for my wife and I remember us going out to the funeral, and I was driving out through there. I remember right where we were, and it was raining, gloomy all day, and it had been cloudy and just drizzly all day. And I remember right where it was. I said, you know, the doctors say he's dead, and God, I know you can resurrect him, but the Doctors say he's dead. Everybody tells me he's dead. And even the weather, that's what I was thinking. Even the weather's telling me that God won't even, ain't even looking at me. He's dead and he's not, there's nothing going to happen. And so we go out there to the funeral. And I don't know, Mary, I guess you were at the funeral, right? So she was there. My wife was. But my wife had asked Brother Sidney Dean to sing the song, Sunlight. She liked that song. She'd asked him to sing it a couple of days before that. And we didn't know what the weather was going to be like, but so we're out there in the pavilion and it's raining. And as soon as Brother Sidney stepped up there and started singing that song, it was like a hole opens up in the cloud and the sun shines down on that pavilion like a spotlight. All the time that he sung that song. And when he got finished singing that song, that closed right back up. I knew the Lord spoke to me then and told me, he said, I can't take it away from you, but I want you to know that I'm with you. And I remember for some reason I wanted to record that funeral. I had a little pocket recorder and I went back and listened to it on the recorder. And when that happened, you could hear a rumble go across the crowd of people. All them family and friends who didn't want nothing to do with what I believe, they had to recognize that. God will stand beside you if you'll stand beside his word. See? So if you'll take that stand and be salty, don't wind out being trodden underfoot. Be salty and God will stand by you. And if he has to make the sun go backwards, he'll do it. Right? God will not be mocked. He will do what he said. And we are in an hour where that's what we just need to do. We just need to settle in our minds and our hearts. We're not going to turn back. Stay in his word totally and completely and let him do wonders. You know, the scripture says, speaking of the end time, that they who know their God will be strong and shall do exploits. Did you know that? I believe we're living in that hour right now. Doesn't matter how much unbelief the world has, that is not going to short-circuit God and what he'll do in your life if you'll just give him room. But remember, it's a sharp edge razor blade, and it falls one way or it falls the other. We either believe God and have the blessings, or we fall into something and wind up looking up someday and realizing that we missed the blessings of God. And you enjoy what you heard this morning.
Amen.
Let me encourage you to be serious with God first and foremost. Be honest with yourself, be honest with God, and you'll get some relief. Just thank the Lord for his blessings upon us. Birthday a day late to Brother Dylan.
Amen.
Growing up on us. Got a car down. But it happens. But you know what? I see the Lord in his life. And that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see with our young people. I don't know how much longer the Lord's going to have us here, but I know Brother Daniel feels the same way. If the Lord, if we work and our time is to go, we go by way of the grave, we just want to hand this off. This gospel off to another generation that can hold it and hold it true, not compromise, not letting it fall, but to stand there and watch God do exploits for them too. Amen. And testify for them. So I just want to say happy birthday, brother. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's just sing a little bit more than I want to share with you.